The reality is there are sins that we commit, and there are sins of omission, where we don't do what we're supposed to do. And sadly, there are many churches that are not obeying the clear commands of God. They are omitting what they are to do, to the detriment of those who are listening.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day. I have a phone comment from Jim in Texas. He says, I am grateful for your program. It's my favorite program. Thank you for strengthening me in the Lord. Thank you so much for your ministry. Well, Jim, you are so welcome. And what a blessing to hear that the Lord is using his word to strengthen you. And we are so thankful to the Lord for the privilege to get his word out. And so thank you so much, Jim, for your encouragement. And I just want to share with our listeners, we are so thankful for your prayers, your encouragement, and your financial support. We just want to let you know it does not go unnoticed. We praise God for you.
And Greg, the title of your message today asks an important question.
Yes, Dave, and that question is, are your shepherds faithful watchmen? And this is a question that every believer needs to answer. Okay, with this in mind, let's answer that question and turn to Ezekiel chapter 33 as we begin.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, if you think about it, and you take your car to the shop or something like that, and you take it there to get fixed, and they just clean it up and send it right back out, but they don't do the work they need to do. What they've done is they've omitted what they should have done. And in the same way, you look at churches who are to proclaim the truth of God, that we would be changed, that we would be fixed in a sense spiritually, that people who aren't saved would be saved, and that those who are saved would be built up. And yet there are many churches where pastors don't do what they're supposed to do. They omit what is needed. They clean things up. They make it shiny and look good on the outside, but the inside is still troubled and having difficulty. The reality is there are sins that we commit, and there are sins of omission, where we don't do what we're supposed to do. And sadly, there are many churches that are not obeying the clear commands of God. They are omitting what they are to do, to the detriment of those who are listening. Well, today we're going to see that shepherds in the body of Christ are called to share God's word. They're called to warn those concerning their sin and the eternal consequences. They're called to do that. And yet many churches, when it gets to the point of warning, just back away and don't share what is needed. They omit what is needed, what God wants them to share. So would you turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 33? We're continuing our study in this book. And the question would be, are your shepherds faithful watchmen? Are those who are leading you in the church, are they faithful? And that you have to analyze me. Analyze us here. And analyze the church that you go to. Are they faithful? Because it's really important. You know, people look at things, like I gave the example of a auto repair shop. You don't want to go to a place that doesn't do the work, that doesn't do what they're supposed to do. You don't want to be in a church that has leaders that don't do what God is calling them to do, right? Or we're not going to be changed. We're not going to be built up. So Ezekiel chapter 33. Now we're going to learn from lessons concerning Ezekiel's reappointment. Now I'm going to share the context of this. Ezekiel's a difficult book to understand apart from the historical context. We know in Deuteronomy 28, as the Israelites were on the plains of Moab getting ready to enter the land, that God brought his word again, Deuteronomy, through Moses, And in Deuteronomy 28, they were told the conditions of the covenant that they had made with the Lord, that if they obeyed, they would be blessed. If they disobeyed, they would be cursed. And there were some very specific consequences for the Israelites if they were to disobey God and go after other gods. And the one was to be expelled from the land. Now, if you look at the Old Testament, it is a testimony of Israel's sinfulness and God's patience. It really is. You see that when they went into the land, they didn't drive out the inhabitants as they were told to do so, and they became pricks and thorns in their side. You see in the book of Judges that everyone did what was right in his own eyes. You see in the time of the judges and then in the time of the kings, as Israel had kings, that Israel continued to sin. God continued to send his prophets over and over again to telling them to repent. Lord Jesus talks about which one of the prophets did you not stone, did you not kill? They went after them because they were sharing what they needed to hear. And in 722 BC, the Assyrians, the northern kingdom, the kingdom was split after Solomon because of his sin, and the northern kingdom was taken into captivity. Then the southern kingdom, Jerusalem and Judah, continued, and prophets continued to share with them of their sin, that they needed to repent. And then, as Babylon became the superpower of the day, in 605 BC, Daniel and his friends were taken captive. And in 597 BC, Ezekiel and 10,000 others were taken captive. Then in 586 BC, Babylon surrounded Jerusalem and for 18 months sieged it. And at the end, there was a brutal slaughter and the city was destroyed. The temple was ransacked and torn down. The walls torn down the city, and the remaining survivors were taken to Babylon for exile. And Israel was in exile for 70 years. Now, the book of Ezekiel is centered around this third and final 18-month siege, a brutal siege by the Babylonians, where in Jerusalem at that time, Jeremiah is prophesying to them, saying, you guys need to repent. And then for the exiles in Babylon that were already there, Ezekiel is prophesying that they need to repent, that God's going to bring his judgment. But he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they would turn and live. The first 24 chapters in the book of Ezekiel are prophecies or oracles before this siege. And God over and over again through Ezekiel says, judgment's coming, repent, you need to turn, you need to turn. God's a gracious God. And we see, as I mentioned a minute ago in chapter 18, the culmination of God's heart towards them. He says, behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father and the soul of the Son. The soul that sins will die. And then he says, do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked? And the answer implied is no, rather they would turn and live. God doesn't take pleasure in those who die in their sins. Precious in his sight are his godly ones, but he takes no pleasure in anyone going to judgment, although he's a God who will judge. He takes no pleasure. He continues to beckon and call out in a loving manner to mankind that they need to be saved from their sin. And so we went into the middle part of Ezekiel from chapter 24 to 32. And that portion was that God is not only judging just simply Israel, he's not just picking on them, but that all the nations that surrounded them that were sinning were going to be judged too. And we saw a circular turn of God's judgment on those nations. And then we saw certainly that God would judge Egypt also, the last four chapters. They would never be the superpower they were again. We see that today. We see the grand ruins, but we don't see much in terms of a superpower these days. And that God would judge them, Egypt, who had been a thorn in Israel's side for so long that Israel had trusted in, but they had turned on them so many times. And now we come to chapter 33, where we're going to see in this chapter that the siege has happened and Jerusalem has fallen, and the exiles are going to make that trip. It's going to take a few months from Jerusalem to Babylon, and they're going to give them the news that it's fallen. Okay? And this is leading up to that now at this point. We saw in the earlier chapters that Ezekiel was commissioned by God, and now we're going to see him being recommissioned, and we're going to learn from this commission what leaders in the church should be doing. So we know, what should a church look like? If you're looking for a church and you want a biblical church, what does that look like? And so we're going to see that here today. So with that in mind, turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 33. And I'm going to read this for you starting in verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the sons of your people and say to them, If I bring a sword upon a land and the people of the land take one man from among them and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming upon the land and he blows on the trumpet and warns the people, then he who hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning and a sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but he did not take warning. His blood will be on himself. But had he taken warning, he would have delivered his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes a person away from them, and he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will acquire from the watchman's hand. Now as for you, son of man, I have appointed you a watchman for the house of Israel. So you will hear a message from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, a wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that the wicked should die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from your hand. But if you, on your part, warn the wicked man to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your life. It's a pretty straightforward passage here. Here we're seeing that Ezekiel's going to be reappointed as a watchman. Now you might be saying, you know, I guess I came the wrong day. I'm not a shepherd. This is about leadership and, you know, it doesn't really apply to me. But it does apply to us because it helps us understand what the leadership should be doing in churches, what you should be hearing on Sundays, what truly would be what God's desire is, not what man's desire is. And secondly, it also helps us understand the responsibility individually when God does put on our hearts, when he does open the door for the gospel, what we should do. When God does that, not us, but when he does that. Okay, so as we start, and yet, again, it's not a blanket passage for us to go out and be the watchman of the world and run out and warn everybody and hold up signs everywhere. That's not what this passage is saying. Remember, God is the one who opens doors for the gospel. He doesn't force it on anyone. He doesn't push it on anyone. God is a gracious God who reveals his truth and gives people the option to choose their destiny. And so with this in mind, he begins reminding him of the basic duty of a watchman. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, verse 1, Son of man, speak to the sons of your people and say to them. So Ezekiel is in Babylon. He's in Babylon. He has been exiled there. He's been ministering for the Lord for over 8 years. And we see this here. He's been faithful. He's been sharing everything God has asked him to share. You could just read through from chapter 1 on. He's been faithful to that. And now the Lord gives him a physical illustration again of what a watchman is. We just read it, but I'll read it again. If I bring a sword on the land and the people of the land take from one of them among them, make him a watchman. You say, well, what's a watchman? Well, in the days in ancient times, the watchman was stationed on the city walls or a tower, and he was to warn the citizens of approaching danger. Danger, danger, they're coming. Danger, warning, warning, blow the trumpet. It's that simple. He was to remain diligent, vigilant, and watchful so that he could warn the people. He had a very important duty. He was personally responsible for the safety of those in whom he was watching over and watching for. Back to our passage, middle of verse 2. If I bring a sword upon the land, the Lord does that sometimes, and the people of the land take one from among them and make him their watchman. Okay, pretty simple illustration. And he sees a sword coming upon him. He sees the bad guys coming, right? Okay? And he blows the trumpet, and he warns the people. Does his job. He's faithful at that. This is speaking to the person who hears the trumpet and doesn't take the warning, okay? Let's say someone's in the land, like he sees the bad guys, he blows the trumpet, and the people, are they hear it, but they go, no big deal, right? Then he hears the sound of the trumpet, verse 4, and does not take warning, and a sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be in his own head. Pretty straightforward principle. If the watchman blows the horn and you don't listen, then it's not his fault, it's on your head, right? Pretty straightforward, okay? And here, he's making it clear that those who don't take warning are responsible for their own death because they didn't take the warning. But notice, middle of verse 5, but had he taken warning, he would have delivered his life. Pretty simple. Take the warning, you live, okay? Verse 6, but if the watchman sees the sword and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and a sword comes and takes a person from them, he is taken in his iniquity. Hey, his sin's still there, but he gets taken. But notice, there's a responsibility. End of verse 6, but his blood I will require from the watchman's hand. Hey, if he didn't do his job, and the people were taken in their iniquity, hey, it is on you, watchman, you did not do your job. He's laying forth an extremely important principle in the physical sphere as an example for churches, okay? Certainly the church, certainly for his people back then, and certainly now for us, as we'll see, the New Testament affirms that. And so, a watchman sees the sword coming, blows a trumpet, people are delivered, the person doesn't take warning, that it's on him. Watchman sees the people coming, doesn't blow the trumpet, people are taken, they're still in their iniquity, but it is on him, okay? So then it was a incredibly important position, and so we have this physical illustration. So why does God do this? Why in chapter 33 of Ezekiel does God give us this illustration again? Now you might remember back in chapter 3 that Ezekiel was appointed a watchman. And we're going to see that the next few verses are almost identical as what we saw back in chapter 3. So he's being reappointed. And why is God doing this? I believe he's pointing out, first of all, that Ezekiel has been a faithful watchman. For the last 8 years, he has said everything God has wanted him to say, and Israel didn't respond. Babylon took them, and they had a great slaughter, and the survivors were taken away to exile. And it's on them, not on the watchman. Ezekiel did what was right. And now you might think, okay, Ezekiel's job's done. But he's reappointing him, as we'll see today. Because there are now more exiles that we have in Babylon, and they need to be delivered from their sin just as much as those who were in Jerusalem. Okay, so this brings us now to Ezekiel's recommissioning as, in a sense, a spiritual watchman. Verse 7. Now notice the duty here. Now as for you, son of man, I have appointed you a watchman for the house of Israel. He gave that example first. Hey, the simple example. He's saying, now Ezekiel, I've appointed you as a watchman for the house of Israel. So you will hear a message from my mouth and give them warning from me. Pretty straightforward. Again, as I mentioned, this section here, verses 7 and 9, are almost identical to what we have in chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. Almost identical, verse for verse. And yes, this is during this old covenant time, but I believe it's packed full of truth that apply to us also. So what can we learn? First of all, for those who are going to serve the Lord, God decides where and how they're going to serve. He says, now as for you, son of man, I have appointed you a watcher for the house of Israel. God appointed him. God placed him in that position. Ezekiel had no choice in the matter, like we saw back in chapter 2. He had no choice. God placed him there. And how we could learn from this, brothers and sisters, We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. You know, we so want to have our rights and do our own thing, and we bring that into the church and into our serving the Lord. And we need to yield and give over to a good God, a gracious God, who will place us where is best for us and best for the people of God. You see, if you live your life telling Christ what you're going to do for him rather than submitting, then you're going to have a difficult Christian life. You're going to have one that is not blessed. You're going to have one that's not rewarded. It's going to be difficult. We have no choice truly in what God decides to do with us. He is a good and gracious God, and he gifts us for how to serve one another. But he chooses where he wants us to be. Ezekiel had no say over this. God just said, I've appointed you. That's the way it is. It's a done deal. We know in the New Testament that God, by his Spirit, gives differing gifts for the body of Christ. And they're different. Not all have the same. Paul gives the illustration of a body that not everybody's an eyeball, not everybody's hands. Differing gifts. And we need to do what he has called us to do, be who he's called us to be, rather than what we want to be. Just think of a regular earthly illustration. You know, whether you're saved or not, God has given you natural talents. Those who function in the context of their natural talents do well what God has given them. Those who function, try to do things different than that, they don't do so well. The reality is God has given us spiritual gifts. And here, God appointed Ezekiel as the watchman. So if you think you have a say over what you want to do, you need to confess that. I hear people wanting to go into ministry. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. I say, I hope that's what the Lord wants you to do in your life. I hope that's what the Lord wants to do. Because otherwise, you're spinning your wheels. And I often think of this in terms of the church. I think it's in terms of my own life. Unless the Lord builds the house, they who labor, labor in vain. You know, God is gracious to lead you if you just submit. And he's a good God and a gracious God. So now, secondly, notice he says, I've appointed you a watchman. He says, for the house of Israel. This is another point here. God chooses who we minister to. We want to minister to this group. We want to do that. We have all the desire. What we want to do. I want to do this or that. He says, I've appointed you a watchman, end of verse 7, for the house of Israel. He didn't say to Ezekiel, who would you like me to appoint you to? And Ezekiel didn't say, well, I want to go to the nations instead. You know, we have all these paradigms and missions that people just follow blanketly rather than trusting the Lord and obeying him and going where he wants them to go. Ezekiel was commissioned to Jews in exile, not to Babylon. And we need to be careful not to mimic the way other people are gifted or things they do. There's pressure these days in churches to do missions the way missions do. Go, you got to do this and that. Hey, it needs to be God appointing. We have no right to choose who we minister to and evangelize. If Ezekiel was like us, he would probably be telling the Babylonians to repent. Maybe holding up signs in the highways, raising money for the anti-Nebuchadnezzar fund, or whatever it might be, you know, or the Restore Israel to Their Land campaign, you know, whatever it might be. But God said, I've appointed you to the house of Israel.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the Ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, we've just scratched the surface of these verses. What should we be looking forward to?
Well, Dave, I believe in our next two broadcasts, if we study the word carefully, we're going to be able to understand if our shepherds are faithful watchmen or not, if our pastors are doing what they ought to be doing. Okay, with this in mind, make plans to join us tomorrow for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.